Hey, Studio 360 listeners, this is something new and different in your podcast feed. We've just launched a new weekly podcast. It's called Sideshow, and it's all about arts and culture and the best memes on the internet right now. Sort of like Studio 360's Wacky Kid Brother, or like Studio 360's Sideshow, which is why it's called Sideshow. One of our producers, Sean Ramaswaram, is hosting. He is smart and funny, and I know you're going to like him. You can find out more at pri.org/sideshow. And if you like what you hear, I hope you'll subscribe to it on iTunes. See you this weekend.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
This is Sideshow, a podcast from Studio 360. I'm Sean Ramaswaram. When someone writes the definitive history of hip-hop, 40s, 40-ounce bottles of malt liquor will probably be nothing more than a footnote, but it'll be a really good one. In the early to mid-90s, hip-hop influenced an entire generation of kids from the cities to the suburbs to drink 40s. Rappers never said they tasted good, but everyone knew that they were cheap and they were potent. And if you wanted to be just like Ice Cube or Eazy-E or Dr. Dre, you had to have a 40 in your hand on a Friday night. This is 8-Ball from NWA's Straight Outta Compton. It's about old English malt liquor. Rolling through the hood to find the boys, kick dust and cuss, crank up some noise. Police on my draws, I have to pause. 40 ounce in my lap and it's freezing my balls. I hook the right turn and let the boys go past. Then I say to myself, they can kiss my ass. Get drunk, got the 8 in my lips. Put in the old tape, Marvin Gaye's greatest hits. Turn the shit up, had the bass cold rumpin'. Cruising through the east side, south of Compton. See a big 40s have been around about as long as television, but after songs like this one, they were everywhere in the 90s. In 4 years, sales went up by 25%. Newspapers started writing articles and editorials about 40s. A headline in the LA Times said sales of the high-alcohol beverage soar in the inner cities. Critics complain that shrewd advertising in ethnic neighborhoods has turned malt liquor into a status symbol. Those critics were talking about St. Ides malt liquor. St. Ides really saw the potential in that little hip-hop thing. The company's ads featured Ice Cube, Wu-Tang, Tupac, Biggie. Here's Snoop's St. Ides commercial. It's a slow jam about malt liquor.
Just hit the corner store, you know what I'm looking for.
With a box of 4-0s, 40 just a bouncing house full of no set tripping, just sipping on ST. That's how we do it in the LBC.
The market for malt liquor was estimated to be worth about $500 million in the mid-90s, but then, very quickly, hip-hop forgot about 40s. And so did newspapers. Almost everyone forgot about 40s, but Besha Rodel didn't. Last year, she wrote a great article called 40 Ounces to Freedom for Punch, an online magazine. It's most likely the first great article about 40s, and that's probably why it just won a James Beard Award. Besha says the 40s' fate was to fade away.
Rap culture, right in the mid to late 90s, took a really serious turn from the idea of, like, kind of sitting in the hood drinking a 40 to sitting in the club drinking champagne. That's the real kind of change in culture that I see, was kind of the didification of things where, you know, rap culture became all about kind of bling and having money, whereas there's nothing fancy about drinking malt liquor.
So the bigger hip-hop got, the less likely anyone was to rap about 40s. But Besha said something funny happened when she posted her article on Punch.
Since I've written the story, even some of the comments on the story, I'm getting a lot of white kids from the suburbs saying, oh, that's still what we do. You know, whereas I don't think that 40s are so prevalent in black urban America as they certainly not as they were.
Now, I can personally attest to this. In the late 90s, I went to school in downtown Toronto, and kids I knew listened to hip hop and drank 40s all the time. But then in 2001, I moved to the suburbs of Los Angeles, where my new friends never really listened to hip hop, but loved 40s. And they love them way more than the kids in downtown Toronto. These suburban kids love 40 so much that at parties they would take two and tape one to each of their hands and drink them all night. They called it Edward 40 Hands. Look it up. I didn't really dig malt liquor that much, but my friends in Southern California turned me on to a song that changed that. They said it was a song that advocated mixing Old English malt liquor with orange juice. And believe me when I tell you that this drink is delicious. It's called Brass Monkey, and that song that my friends played for me was also called Brass Monkey. It was by the Beastie Boys.
Brass Monkey!
Most of my friends have moved on from malt liquor. They're all beer aficionados or martini makers, but I still drink Brass Monkeys, and I get laughed at. WNYC has an on-again, off-again cocktail hour every Friday, and I volunteered to make them for everyone, and I got laughed at. I still love the Beastie Boys, but I kind of blame them. I blame Mike D for planting Brass Monkeys in my head.
All right.
I called Mike D from the Beastie Boys to ask him about malt liquor. So Brass Monkey, as I told you, the song that made me love malt liquor because it made malt liquor...
Wait, what? This is where I'm confused, Sean.
Why?
And in all due respect.
Okay.
It's a different category of beverage.
It is, but, I mean, a lot of people don't like vodka until they try, like, a vodka martini, you know, or a screwdriver.
No, I know, but those are the same liquor. Brass malt liquor is... in the beer category, if you will.
Sure.
Brass Monkey is a mixed cocktail. It just happens to come pre-mixed in a can.
Oh, so are we not talking Brass Monkey like the Old English plus orange juice?
No, Old English has nothing to... You need to... Homeboy, have you ever used Google in your life?
Yeah, I have.
You have? You're familiar with the product?
Absolutely, yeah. It's a great search engine.
Okay.
Second to Bing.
Do you have a laptop or mobile... smartphone type
sure,
of device
sure,
near you?
Absolutely.
Okay, Google Brass Monkey, and I'm going to do the same thing. As
okay,
I
let's do it.
Brass Monkey, Brass Monkey Beastie Boys, by the way, ends up being one, two, three, five down.
That might be the problem search. Here because it's been reappropriated.
I've done that. Oh, a Brass Monkey cocktail. Wikipedia, oh, bang, as
okay.
they say,
okay.
In NBA, oh, bang! Ooh, I clicked on Wikipedia. Oh, let's see. Brass Monkey is the name.
A number of different cocktail recipes.
Of different cocktails. Okay, the premix cocktail labeled Brass Monkey, which is of what we waxed so eloquently about,
yeah.
was produced, this is according to Wikipedia now, so
okay.
anyone, you know, I don't want
it. Let me go in and change it before you finish reading it.
Produced by the Hublin Company in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s. Hublin premixed bottled cocktails were fairly inexpensive and provided a portable alternative to regular mixed drinks.
Wow.
And to this I can attest.
Vodka, orange juice, and dark rum. Okay, so that's what you guys were singing about.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm actually, honestly, I've never heard of Old English.
I want you to scroll down to
beer
variations.
Consisting of a half-empty bottle of malt liquor. Traditionally Old English, to which orange juice is added until full. That, I had no idea that was Brass Monkey.
This is revelatory theory.
Yeah.
I think
we're really, you know, we're at the epicenter of looking into meanings of now-defunct cocktails.
No, the Brass Monkey that I know and love is still alive and well. I drink them all the time. I mean, and
that one, but see, with the produced one... your premix cocktail produced by Hublin in the 70s, 80s, 90s, meaning I don't think it's in current day production.
Does it blow your mind that there's another Brass Monkey, or does
it? It does, and it makes me wonder, like, what percentage of people who heard the song Brass Monkey think of what you're thinking about, the Old English variation, as opposed to the premix cocktail. I want to know, what is the science to malt liquor? Like, does it actually genuinely? You know, this is a white radio program. This is what I want you as white people to tell me.
I'm not a white person.
Okay, all the better. I'm going to equal opportunity speech here. I want to know is there any science? I want to hear the scientific side. Is there any science to malt liquor getting you more effed up or not.
Yes, it's a higher alcohol content, and since they were selling it in 40-ounce bottles, it's basically that single bottle is the equivalent of drinking like 5.5 cans of beer.
All right, so you're drinking a six-pack in a bottle.
In a bottle, yeah, in one serving, yeah.
All right, well, see, you've answered that. Now I'm satisfied as a listener.
Brass Monkey, that funky monkey.
Oh, would you consider, like, trying to revive the Brass Monkey in a can, your version, not mine? It could be Mike D's Brass Monkey, you know?
I'm going to have to talk to Steve Stout and Jay-Z about this. See what kind of brand development we can get into.
Yeah. You think Jay'd be down?
Can we get him on the line?
I don't know. Can you patch him in?
I don't know. He's embroiled in enough controversy already, so I don't know that we're going to get him on this whole malt liquor thing.
Thanks for listening to Sideshow. You can subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or at pri.org/soundworks. We have a daily blog up at studio360.org. You can find that at studio360.org/sideshow. And we're on Twitter at Sideshow. Thanks to David Krasnow, Jenny Lawton, John Delore, Sophia Nguyen, and Kurt Anderson. And thanks to Mike D, Ad Rock, and MCA for making music that I'll listen to for the rest of my life.
Sideshow is supported in part by PRI's New Voices Fund, bringing new perspectives and personalities to public media. Donors to the fund include Maureen and Michael Rutgers and the Sarah and Evan Williams Foundation.
Hey, this is Mike D from Beastie Boys, and this is Sideshow.
Thanks so much, man.
Okay.
Soundworks.
Soundworks
from PRI.